With the help of the transport industry's leading figures, this series of The Chiefs is dedicated to the future of how we get around and between the world's major cities. From innovative hardware to shifting consumer trends, we analyze what to expect as the world reawakens. Should we keep our seatbelts fastened for more turbulence, or are the clouds clearing ahead? On today's episode, we probe the state of the aviation industry. With planes grounded and borders closed, then reopened, then closed again, the past year's chaotic twists and turns hit even the market's major players rather hard. However, one carrier that's been keeping routes open and its Doha hub alive is Qatar Airways. The airline adopted a serious approach to the pandemic while understanding it should still provide a service for those in need, whether reuniting loved ones or keeping crucial in-person business meetings on track. Qatar Airways never stopped flying, and their practical yet premium approach has kept the business looking reasonably bright and plans for 2021 just about on schedule. Joining me today to talk us through the airline's navigation through the pandemic is His Excellency Mr. Akbar Al-Bakr, GCEO of Qatar Airways since 1997. We talk about why commitment to service is key and whether a new golden age for legacy carriers is en route. I'm Tyler Brûlé. You're listening to The Chiefs on Monocle 24. Thank you very much for joining us today. I can't think of a better individual, a better leader, not just in the world of aviation, but in the world of transport in general. Where do you see us sitting right now? We are coming to the end of Q3, and many people say that this 2021 that we're in really did not start in a way people thought. They thought about the symbolism of a new year. When you look at forward bookings and where things stand at the moment, what's your take on the state of the industry right now?
Frankly speaking, this is exactly what should have never happened. 2021 has really a bad start because people got complacent. They still do not realize the magnitude of the threat this pandemic is bringing to the entire world economy, and in particular, to the travel industry. People took things easy. People got crazy partying during Christmas and New Year. Prior to that, several weeks, they got crazy going shopping in big numbers. Governments did not realize that for the cost of economic regeneration, they did not bring really proper regulations, proper discipline, and now is the result of, in some countries, a second wave, and in certain countries, third wave of infections, which has seriously damaged the slow recovery that we had seen happening at the end of last year. And I think that this pandemic is not going to disappear overnight. People should realize that they have to follow the protocols put in place by the health authorities of those countries, and people should get a bit of discipline in how they move around, how they mix with people, how they contact. There should be social distancing. There should be proper hygiene requirements to be taken until such a time that we get herd immunity by taking large numbers of vaccinated people in the countries. And you can see what happened, that also even developed countries did not have proper vaccination planning in place. Everybody knew that Pfizer, Moderna, and AstraZeneca were producing vaccines. They did not get their act together in ordering the numbers that they need to have in place. And that is going to impact the slow recovery that has already started. Unfortunately, I think people will once again forget what happened at the end of last year and the beginning of this year. And I think they will again get crazy by becoming complacent in the second half of this year, and I'm afraid that we could have maybe fourth and fifth waves of infection. What we should always keep in mind, that all what's going to happen depends on us, of how we take the precaution. COVID is not going to disappear. It will be with us for long term. We will need to get used how to stay with it, keeping the precautions we need to take in order for our livelihood to return back to the new norm, until such a time that there will be a massive breakthrough beyond vaccination, that people will be able to get treated and cured so that we get back to the way we have been treating a normal flu.
I want to come back to human behavior in a moment, and maybe returning to both habits that are good habits and bad habits in a moment. But if you look at your peer sets as with other airlines, we see some carriers have completely stepped out of the game and said, we are grounded. We're not putting our fleet in the air. And there are, of course, many are doing it for economic reasons. Some also, though, are saying they're doing it for health reasons. They're saying that, okay, we should not be doing anything to promote travel at the moment. People should just stay where they are, and this is one of the most effective ways of fighting the virus. Of course, we know many other people who also believe the world needs to go around still, and economies still need to be ticking over. You still need to have the pilot light on in the furnace. And Qatar Airways has really, I would say, been at, maybe in a way you could say, top of mind, not forefront, but top of mind, because you've been promoting, obviously, safety and hygiene measures, but also saying we are an airline that is open and connecting the world. Was there only one direction for you to go? Because you could argue that that Qatar is not a big country. Yes, you're important for connecting people. But was it ever an option to say, we're not going to fly at all? Or that was never an option for you?
Let me be very straight on this subject. Qatar Airways is flying people around, but we are not shooting from the hip like some people have done in our region, which then brought the huge spike in infections and have also been responsible for the mutated virus that has been starting to spread. What I'm trying to say is Qatar Airways did continue flying, did continue connecting people. We were very resilient, but we did with all the precautions that we needed to take in order to mitigate the spread of the virus. We introduced state-of-the-art disinfecting systems, precautions, PPEs to the crew, face shield to the passengers, in order for us to make sure that we take passengers and people from point A to point B, delivering them to their loved ones. Keep in mind that this whole pandemic started to roll out overnight, and it was important for Qatar Airways to carry stranded passengers to their loved ones. I'm sure you are hearing in the press, on BBC, on several channels, people today have been stranded because countries have closed their doors, introduced quarantine regimes, without realizing that their nationals have been stranded, and at times without financial support or financial help. So we should not forget that there are people stranded, there are people in need, there are people who need to travel for medical purposes. And this is why, after shrinking our network to only 33 destinations, today we are back to nearly 120 destinations. We'll go up to 130 destinations before the end of March, because we see that there is still need to carry passengers. Not only need to carry passengers, but also there is need to carry cargo, medical supplies, medicines, vaccines. The life still has to continue, but with different way of how we used to live.
You've touched on two points. You talked about medical supplies, people needing to travel for medical reasons. You've used the word loved ones. I'm also wondering, though, where are the business people in all of this? Because we had, of course, you could look back 18 months ago, 2 years ago, we already had the dawn of flight shaming. People shouldn't get on planes. It's bad for the environment, et cetera, et cetera. So this was this narrative that we saw. Now we also see a new type of flight shaming. Do you really need to go and do you need to travel for that meeting? And I'll be very clear with you. We believe, yes. Monocle believes that the world needs to move forward. There are essential things that happen face to face. What is your view on that? Do you believe that you also need to be facilitating business travel? Is that also a component of this too? It's not just about repatriation.
You are exactly right. You know, it is a chicken and egg story. Everybody have to travel, even at difficult times, even at impossible times, people still have to travel to conduct their businesses. They need to still go and meet people who are in dire need of support from their loved ones, people who are not well, people who are in circumstances where they need to go and meet their family members. You know, this travel business is not going to stop just because of the pandemic. Businesses, for example, I have met people. I could have very easily done by WebEx, but people said, no, we want to have a face-to-face serious talk in business on confidential matters. They needed to have a face-to-face meeting. I have met people at the airport where they have come. They have overnight at the airport. Fortunately, Hamad International has a 4-star 200-room hotel inside the terminal building. So people have come to conduct businesses. I know that it is very easy to conduct businesses by WebEx, but what deals you can make person to person, face to face, cannot happen on WebEx. A lot of people say that the future of business travel will be completely decimated because of the COVID, and people will get used to do business meetings by WebEx. But I think that when the person to person, face to face contact, concluding business, is different when it is coming, discussing business remotely. So I think that people will still travel for businesses. People will still travel for meeting family members. People will still travel on special occasions, but it will not be business travel and personal travel. I don't think we'll come back to pre-2019 for the next 3 to 4 years.
Which begs the question then, but it will come back at a point.
Certainly it will come back, but it will take longer than what we thought initially during the pandemic, because you can already see how the pandemic can get worse when people are taking this whole matter very, very simply.
I don't want to spend our whole interview reflecting on the last year and also maybe some not great things that lie ahead. I also want to speak about innovation and just, of course, we have your wisdom as well today, which is great. And I also want to look forward, but maybe our last little mention of the pandemic, but also I think on the motivation to travel. Very short story. I've been flying around Europe quite a bit. I'm based in Zurich. It's all been short-haul travel for the last year. I'm very keen to fly long-haul when I can get to the places that I want to go to. Tokyo, very important to us, very difficult to get to. Question, do airlines need to be working harder when it comes to charming passengers? Is there going to need to be a deployment of marketing money, innovation funds, to also remind people about the joy of travel? I flew recently and I was wondering, why is this ticket so expensive? The service was so reduced and they'd cut everything back to the bare bones. And you thought, shouldn't you be going the other direction, actually, if you don't charm me to come back? Now, I'm a hardcore flyer. Are you going to have to, and are your peer set, are they going to have to be working harder now than they did going into this?
First of all, we will not need to charm the people to travel. They will be so desperate to travel once things open up and that the pandemic is under control and people feel that it is now safe. It will not be fully safe for them to travel because you don't know what are the regulations that will be imposed by the countries on the other end. But you already saw that once people thought that they can go to a destination without quarantine, without any PCR tests, without any precautions, people got crazy and went there, and then we got another problem. Coming to the fares, ticket prices being expensive, don't forget that countries have imposed quotas of how many people you can carry to that destination. So, you know, once you restrict the numbers of passengers that can fly on an airplane, then the airline has to charge additional amount in their fares because they have to cover at least the direct operating cost. So this all depends on the countries that are imposing restrictions. On the end of the story is that countries will have to get together, work with IATA and ICAO and WHO to put protocols in place that will then make passengers easier to travel. And once we start getting the volumes that we require in airplanes, the ticket prices will go back to where it used to be, which is the normal ticketing prices that people used to pay. Coming to the product, airlines are trying to cut costs because they cannot carry the volumes. This is why they are cutting on the product. As far as Qatar Airways is concerned, we don't believe in cutting costs, which will then affect the passengers' amenities that they need to have when they are traveling on Qatar Airways. We are still providing the kind of meals we used to provide. We are still providing the amenities that we used to provide prior to COVID. The only thing what is different is the service process that we have introduced, just in order to make sure that there is minimum crew interaction with the product we are providing you. But we are still providing all the products that we were providing in the past. And airlines, unfortunately, have taken the pandemic as an excuse to cut the product that they are offering to their passengers. We at QR, we will never do that.
Not just for QR, but for maybe other carriers that are attempting to maintain proper service levels. Does this really become an advantage? Because we'll all recognize that people have been so fatigued over the years, even when things are good. I mean, we've seen product and services reduced. People are sort of scratching their heads. Why did this happen? I'm wondering, what do you think the landscape is going to look like? And maybe there's a couple of questions then within that. Are we going to see some carriers exiting the scene, some big carriers? We know even in your own neighborhood of the Gulf, some carriers are not the airlines that they were, even pre-pandemic. Will there be a shakedown in low cost? A little bit of a crystal ball moment from Doha. How do you see things, Mr. Abakar?
I think, yes, what you are mentioning will happen. Airlines will shrink. We already see in our region, there are several who have shrunk and will continue to shrink. They will find new models of doing business. One of them will be low cost, forgetting that in our region, people don't want product that goes to the levels of low cost. You can already see even at BA in Europe, they have now stopped selling food, but now want to go back to a new way of giving product to their passengers. On the question that you ask about the aviation landscape, yes, there will be some spectacular collapses if the pandemic continues and we keep on getting waves after waves of closures and infection and restrictions. The aviation landscape will not be what it was in 2019 for sure. How many of them will survive? How many major airlines will restructure and become a smaller airline? It all boils down to how long this pandemic is going to continue.
If we would have spoken to an analyst at, of course, one of the major banks, and certainly we would have spoken to some regulators 5 or 6 years ago, everyone was, of course, giving legacy carriers a hard time because, and I say the legacy carriers that, of course, have state support. They look like old dinosaurs. They didn't make sense. Were they part of a modern globalized society? I was talking to one of your One World partner CEOs recently, and they have significant state ownership. And in many ways, they said, well, thank goodness, because they're essential. They're part of that nation's national brand. And I don't really care, to be honest, that we're not that we don't have a variety of banks and other investors. It's great that the state stands behind us. Are we entering maybe a new golden era for the state-backed legacy airline? Because many people sort of had written them off because they want to talk about all these new innovative models. You're not in a dissimilar position in many ways. So is that also part of the new landscape, Mr. Abakar?
Very interesting question that you ask. You know, in the past, all these legacy carriers were constantly attacking us for state aid and subsidy, etc., etc. And now they themselves realized that state aid is absolutely essential for their survival, because the airline industry is so capital intensive. And when there is a huge downturn, a pandemic or a natural calamity, or even huge increase in oil prices, that they will struggle to survive. And the countries themselves who were supporting their notion of state aid and subsidy being very bad for business, realize today that aviation is a very important economic tool. And whatever will happen, they will have to support their national carriers. The good example is carriers in Europe, carriers in the United States, carriers in the Far East, all have received massive state aid, even though they are not state-owned, they are private entities, they have shareholders. But to sustain employment and economic interest of the country, they had to support their carriers. And I think that state aid that will be given to carriers will have some strings attached to it, whereby they have to reduce their size, they have to become more efficient, they have to reduce their inventory and numbers of people they have in their payroll, and also consider environmental factors. For example, the aid that was given to Air France KLM had strings tied to it that they will not operate flights between hour and a half. They will promote trains. So things like that will certainly come in the foreseeable future, where airlines will have to pull up their socks.
It sounds to me like you're painting a picture, maybe, and maybe I'm being a bit hopeful here, that we could also be entering a bit of an era of a new golden age of travel. And of course, let's say we don't want empty planes and we don't want empty airports. I say a golden age of travel, though, where maybe states are also more on the hook now, because once upon a time, there was proper competition. It wasn't just about how full an airline's coffers were and of course, what load capacities were. This was a point of national pride. And there's no question when we think of Qatar Airways. So listen, the name is on the label. You know exactly what this brand is representing. And it goes with many other countries as well. And as you said, you pulling up socks is a really good example. Do you also feel that these airlines are going to be a bit more on the hook? Because, Mr. Al-Bakr, everyone talks about soft power today. How do nations present themselves? How do they project themselves? So I'm just wondering, do we maybe move into or pivot into a slightly new era as well when it comes to that point of national pride as seen through a carrier?
Look, Qatar Airways is not there for national pride. Qatar Airways is there to serve the economic interest of our country. The only thing what is different with Qatar Airways is that we want to be a top-notch quality airline. And this is why when it comes to Qatar Airways, it is an issue of us, of the kind of quality we want to provide to our passengers. And therefore, we always make sure that Qatar Airways is in the forefront of product development, hygiene, and of course, standards that we provide to our passengers. It is not about, you know, just showing the national pride. It is about giving a product to our passengers who pay to travel with us and expect always the best.
Let's look ahead. You've got your suites at the front of the aircraft. Of course, new aircraft also coming on board. A lot of things happening at Hamad International. Maybe sort of pick three things, if you want to tease our listeners, that you're looking forward to from an innovation point of view, either where you're going to be first to market or certainly that you see that you're going to be best in class. I know you say maybe we don't have to charm people. I disagree. I think some people are so beaten down and many people are scared, etc. If we do have to charm them, or if you do have to give a little bit of a pitch as to what you see on the immediate horizon in terms of innovation from Qatar Airways, what would the three or five points? What would they be?
First and foremost, we are building a destination at Hamad International. that would want people to travel through this hub, because it is something that people want to visit. It's really becoming today a point of status for Qatar Airways to have the best of its class when it comes to a connector. Secondly, we want to make sure that we are providing the most efficient, the most improvement in carbon emissions of any other airline. Therefore, we are always making sure that we have the youngest fleet with the state-of-the-art aeroplanes. And finally, we want to differentiate ourselves with all our peer group when it comes to innovation and product that we provide to our passengers. These three things are very important for us, for our future, and for the development of Qatar Airways into the 21st century.
You have to tell us a little secret, though. So you can't just talk about product. Give us a little morsel. I think our listeners would be keen to hear where are we going to, what's going to happen at Hamad, or what's going to be happening on board?
Unfortunately, I cannot give in too much. We are in the middle of innovating our product for the 777X and for the Airbus A321neos that will be replacing our narrow-body fleet. You will have to wait till we launch those products and we show it in one of the trade shows. Unfortunately, last year it was all canceled. This year, again, it's going to be mostly canceled. So you'll have to wait until 2022 to see what product we are going to introduce in these two new types of aircraft that we will be introducing into our fleet. We will also completely revamp the way we deliver the product on board the airplane, the soft product, which again will be a game changer for us in the airline.
And that's maybe a perfect point to end. We're talking in many ways about this is a human story. It's about human tragedy. It's also about human opportunity around the world as well. You can buy all the 777Xs that you want, and you can do all kinds of hard innovation. But ultimately, I doubt, at least I hope not, that the future 777X is not going to have a big self-serve canteen down in the belly. You're still going to have people who want to be best in class, who are running the cabins, who are in the cockpit, so who are on the ground. In that area, everyone talks about, we're digitizing our airline. Well, I would hope you're digitizing your airline. But how are you also able to still attract best-in-class talent at a time when, a lot of people, they might just think I can sit at home in my pajamas and I can write digital code all day?
I don't want to really boast too much about Qatar Airways, but when people travel on QR, they already expect the best. They expect something new. They expect something different. And they expect absolute dedication and attention from the people that serve them. And all these four things that I just mentioned to you, we guarantee in Qatar Airways. And this is why Qatar Airways has always been voted the best airline. It has always been in the forefront of product in our industry. And, if you really look at our history, the last 20 years, we have always been the first in introducing products in our industry, which nobody else even thought about. And then when you come to Hamad International, we have amenities and products in the airport for people that no other airport offers. And we are now expanding the airport to get up to 58 million passenger capacity and preparing my country for FIFA 2022. And again, at the airport, you will be looking at innovations which no other airport has done before. You have to wait and see until the end of next year what those will be.
My thanks to His Excellency Mr. Akbar Al-Bakr, GCEO of Qatar Airways, for joining us for this week's episode of The Chiefs. Tune in next week as we stay in the air to hear why supersonic flying is due for a comeback. This episode of The Chiefs was produced and researched by Paige Reynolds and edited by Steph Chungu with assistance from Desiree Bentley. I'm Tyler Brulé here in Zurich. Thank you very much for listening.